Greetings everyone, in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hope you all had a blessed time so far. I'm blessed to be part of the fellowship and I've been blessed so far. And my name is Venkateshwarlu Gudipu, also known as Daniel Venkatesh. And I'm currently a fellow member at the Edmunds Lane Bible Chapel, Dallas, Texas. I stand before you this evening in the presence of our living God to share the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ in my life. And to start with, I was born and brought up in a pious Hindu family, and I was the second youngest among 14 siblings. It's a small village. So, and I was raised in such a way that where I usually perform all the rituals and do all the recitations, and also because most of my village people are laymen, they are not literates, my grandfather, who was a priest in the temple, used to ask me to read all those recitations in the open mic so that the village people can hear and learn some theology of what we believed previously. And tragically, among the 14 siblings, we lost 8 siblings at different stages. And my father passed away when I was in the 4th grade. This loss forced my mother to do a lot of labor and also immense responsibility of raising us. Despite these family and financial challenges, I was also dropped from the school and started doing labor. But my school teacher, she was so good, and she came to my mother, had a deal that if you can send your son to the school, she will take care of all 3 meals. So my mother joyfully agreed that, because my teacher told that she will provide breakfast and dinner. Lunch can be provided at the school. So my mother kindly agreed and sent me to the school. So my teachers has been helping me to finish my primary education. However, during this time, I became actively involved in anti-Christian activities, became a member of an organization, used to do a lot of activities to be so aggressive. Like whenever an evangelist comes to our village, I used to call upon all our village people and we used to attack on them, sometimes burn the Bibles and also used to persecute them like anything. That was what I did when I have no idea about the Lord Jesus Christ. And my aggressiveness towards Christianity has increased when I was in school, when my social studies teacher offered a New Testament. I tear it and told her that, and I was accusing Christianity about their conversion. I was telling her and the people around, like, it's not ours. We don't belong to him. And we don't have any relation with Christ. And he has nothing to do with us. We have countless number of gods and goddesses. That's what I've been telling her. And after that, I was expelled from the school. So that's a continuous story. So, but by God's grace, when I was in 10th standard, I excelled academically and became a district level topper, and which gave me an opportunity to enter into a university, International Institute of Information Technology, IIIT Andhra Pradesh, where the university takes care of 6 years integrated course, pre-engineering plus engineering. So there we were used to be in a dormitory, 24 members. I was initially concerned about, like, are all my 24 roommates, are all my roommates are Christians or not? So I made sure that they are all Christian, they are all Hindus, and no Christian is there. So we had initial deal that we should never tolerate any Christians in our group. So after a couple of weeks, I've been observing some of my friends on Sundays, they are not available. So I started inquiring what is happening. So they told me that there was a person called Stephen. Stephen. So he is sharing the gospel with them about the need of the Lord Jesus Christ to the humanity and to the person. So they were convinced and they started attending the prayer meetings and they accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal savior, which was kind of like shock to me. And I was telling them like, it is not right. We were born in one religion and we must die. If at all we convert, that's a kind of like blasphemy. That's a kind of like backstabbing. I was trying to have a debate with them and trying to convince them. So finally, I decided to have a direct conversation with Stephen. So one Sunday, initially I thought of complaining to the vice chancellor so that he would be expelled from the university and there would be no more gospel in the campus. But I thought of having a discussion with him. So I went to have a discussion on one Sunday. I was sitting back. So he was preaching from Isaiah chapter 65 verse 2, where it is written, I spread out my hands all the day to a rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good, following their own devices. So I've been listening, but truly I did not understand anything. I was waiting for him so that he can come and have a discussion with me. So after finishing the sermon, he was asking like, are there any new students around who wants to discuss with me? So I told them, I am here and I am waiting for you. So I had it, like when he came to me, I started shouting upon him. Very aggressive. I was so furious and I was shouting upon him, accusing that you are here to study, but why are you spreading the gospel? Why are you converting the students? I was telling all the stories and I was shouting like anything, but I continued for 45 minutes, but he did not reply anything. At the end, I did not receive any response, I just asked him one question. Stephen, can you give me one reason that why we need Lord Jesus Christ when we have countless number of gods and goddesses in our nation? What is the need of Lord Jesus Christ to me and my nation when we have these many countless number of gods or goddesses in our land? Then he started answering, Venkat, take a white paper. On one side, write your good deeds. On the other side, write your bad deeds. And if your good deeds, at least one greater than the bad deeds. He told me that you don't need the Lord Jesus Christ. And an offer is that he told me that he will quit to preach about the Lord Jesus Christ, which gave me a lot of energy that, okay, he will stop preaching about the Lord Jesus Christ. There would be no more gospel in the campus. But before leaving, he asked me a question. Venkat, can you define what is sin? Which I don't have a clue. I was telling, sin means sin. He told me that, define what is sin. I don't have any understanding of that. So then I asked him, like, anyway, do you have any definition of sin? I asked him. So he told me that anything against to the moral standards of God, that may be a thought or deed, that is considered as sin. Anything against to the moral standards of God, may be thought or deed, that would be considered as sin. Which he gave some examples from the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ, where hatred being equivalent to murder and lust equating to adultery, which is new to me, and there was a fear in my heart. My definition of sin, my theology and my understanding was something different. So then I told him, like, I'll work out on that and I'll come and prove that how good I am. I was thinking I may be a liar, but I was a good liar. I may be a thief. I was a good thief doing for a purpose, good purpose. But when I went back and started writing on that, every day I used to write in a diary my good deeds and bad deeds. And then before going to bed, I used to read that. Then there was a guilt in my heart, which is overwhelmed me. And it was such a scenario that where my consciousness is telling me, Venkat, you are worse than an animal. Because I know what I was, and God knows. I was in such a regret. I was feeling bad and had a regret that something is wrong with myself, something is wrong with me. And I was in such a position that where I was not even ready to accept myself. My conscience was telling me, you are worse than animal. Because I know where I come from, what I was. So the next week, next Sunday, when I met Stephen, he anxiously asked me, did you prepare the list? I told him, yes. Brother, you have prepared the list, right? Take this list and go to the one whom you think that they love you the most in the world and show this list and ask them, like, do you love me after knowing who am I, who I am, and what I am, and what I did? I was in tears. I was in tears because I could still remember when I was in 8th standard, where my mother was asking me and begging me to take my life because of my aggressiveness. I was such a burden to my family. I told Stephen that. If there is anyone who can accept us after God, that would be parents. I am even unworthy of my mother's love. I am even unworthy of my parents' love. Who can love me? Then he took me through Isaiah chapter 65 verse 2. He read through that, where it is written that, I stretched out my hands towards the people who are ungodly. I spread out my hands all the day to a rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good, following their own devices. And he was telling me that God is ready to accept you as you are. He spread out his hands towards the people who are rebellious. A creator stretched out his hands towards his own creation, which is rebelling against him, and who are walking in a way that is not good. And he took me through Isaiah chapter 50 verse 6, where it is written, the servant's struggle or the servant's crucifixion or whatever the sufferings are listed out. I gave my back to those who strike and my cheeks to those who pull out the beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting. It is describing the Christ's sacrifice on the cross for my sins, which he was explaining that. He emphasized how Jesus bore shame, mockery, and crucifixion, the most painful and humiliating death that anyone can ever suffer on the face of this earth. And he told me that it is all out of love for me. And for the first time, I heard the gospel very clearly. And he asked me that, you creator, you are rebelling against the one creator, your own creator, and you are hating the one who is the reason, very reason behind your existence. And he asked me, like, he died for you, for your sins upon the cross of Calvary, and ready to accept as you are. And asked me, do you want to accept the Lord Jesus Christ? I told, first thing, this was the question I asked him, like, does Jesus know me really? I hate him the most. I tear his book and I humiliated and I persecuted his people. Does he know me really? Told me that. He knows you very well and he stretched out his arms to accept as you are. Where I was even not ready to accept myself, Christ is ready to accept me. That was something new. And I told him that I need some more time. Then he offered me the John's Gospel. I went through that a week. And on the next week, Friday, I don't know whether we call it a prayer or something else, but this was what I literally told to the Lord. If at all I want to die, it is worth to die for the Lord Jesus Christ because he alone died for me. He accepted me as I am. After that, my life changed. My sins were forgiven. I received pardon for my sins. And after that, I returned. After that, I informed to Stephen and all 7 to 10 students that I did so and so. I told this. And they were so happy and they received me. And they helped me to go through the scriptures and taught me how to walk in the Lord. And after holidays, like during the holidays, I went to home where I was preaching about the Lord. And my family and all, they got to know. And they asked me to take a decision. Whether to be part, if you want to be part of the family, you must leave Christ. Otherwise, you are no more going to be considered as a family member. I know the transformation that cross has brought in my life. I know that pardon and the forgiveness that I received for my sins. So I told that I need a Savior. So they excommunicated for 6 years from family. But God has been so gracious and He started meeting all my needs all the years, and He was faithful and trustworthy in my life. After that, we started working among the students. The Lord has blessed those efforts and added 300 to 400 youngsters to His kingdom through His grace. And I witnessed the Lord through water baptism in 2014 and part of the Bethel Christian Assembly at Vinukonda, Andhra Pradesh. And when I was in third year of engineering, I started praying that, Lord, grant me the grace to serve you in the unreached parts of India, northern part of India. So the Lord has granted me the grace to qualify the national entrance level exam and secure a master's seat in NIT Uttarakhand, National Institute of Technology Uttarakhand, with a specialization in artificial intelligence. So I joined there and started working among the Garhwali tribes, who doesn't have an access to the word of God. They don't have scriptures in their own language. So we started praying and also reach out the youngsters there. So the Lord has blessed the effort. Few youngsters came to know the Lord, and we encouraged them to focus on the translation. God's grace that we were able to see a Mark's Gospel, Gospel of Mark audio version in Garhwali language. I just want to let me pause to share a few facts about the Bible translation ministry, which the Lord has laid the burden in my heart. There are over 7,300 languages spoken in the world. And the full Bible, both Old Testament and New Testament, has been translated into only 740 languages, which means around 10 to 13% of the world languages are only have the complete Bible. How about the remaining? It has always a burden in my heart that all the unreached groups, the psalmist clearly says that your word is precious than gold and silver. But all the unreached groups have gold and silver, but they don't have the one that is precious. So the very inspired word that endures even when the heavens or the earth are shaken, that word is not reached. Should we not consider then that it's a time to invest our education, intelligence, intellect, and every God-given resources to reach the unreached, the greatest wealth that we can share, not the material, but the eternal. And after that, after the master's program, I got the opportunity to pursue PhD in IIT Karnataka in India. So there, Dharwad is one of the places where it's a center of anti-Christian activities. And there was no student fellowship on campus, and also there were no fellowships around. So the Lord has granted us the opportunity to work on that, and He granted the grace to start a fellowship and reach the places around. And by His grace, I completed my PhD in 2.5 years, becoming one of the youngest PhD graduates in computer science in India, and the first PhD candidate from IIT Karnataka in the department. And today I serve as a research scientist and faculty at the University of Texas at Dallas. My dear brothers and sisters, before I conclude, I just want to bring to your notice that I would like to read a verse from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The verse beautifully describes the character of the true and ultimate King of Israel, none other than our Lord Jesus Christ. In my own life, I have experienced these attributes of the true King, or true Messiah, in a very real way. The Lord has been a wonderful counselor in my life, guiding me step by step with his perfect plans, even when I could not understand how did it go. I never ever imagined that I can come to the saving knowledge of my Savior. I never imagined that I could finish my 10th standard. What a wonderful Savior. What a great plans he had for his children. And the Lord has been mighty God, giving me strength to face battles. When I came to know the Lord that day in my village, my mother was holding my feet and crying that not to accept the Lord. But what a great Savior. What a great God. He gave me strength to face all the battles, physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, all areas of life, while hiding me under his wings, hiding me under his shadow. And he has been everlasting Father. I lost my father when I was in fourth grade. I barely saw him. But pouring out his never-ending love upon me, ever during all the pain, rejection, and struggle. And he has been the Prince of Peace in my life, reconciling me to God and filling my heart with the joy, inexpressible joy, and filled the peace in my life throughout all the seasons. And tonight, I would like to encourage you that he is the wonderful counselor. He has the best ideas and strategies. Are you ready to follow him? My Savior, who led me throughout and so far, who was a wonderful counselor, is ready to guide you if you can follow him. And he's a mighty God. He defeats his enemies easily. No one can stand in front of him. Can you come and hide behind him? He can cover you under his wings and take you through all the journey. As everlasting Father, he loves endlessly. In all the seasons of life, his love is there to enjoy. Can you come and enjoy this love? As the Prince of Peace, he reconciles us while we are still his enemies. He reconciles heaven with a wretched sinner like me. And he is there for you too. Can you welcome his dominion? And my heart's desire is to glorify the Lord and prepare for his blessed return and to lead others to him. And the Lord is so faithful, irrespective of all my weaknesses, and has been all in my all. I request your kind prayers for this weak vessel to manifest the Master's glory throughout the life. I praise God for this wonderful opportunity and sincerely thank the IBF team for making it possible according to the divine plans. May the Lord bless you all richly. Thank you so much.